You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A good Tuesday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Balls. Again, this podcast each and every weekday morning when you wake up, wherever you want to get your podcast. Got that Linktree link in the bio of both of my Twitter accounts, Locked On Balls and at underscore Kaner. One click, you can listen and follow this podcast very, very easily. I'm a radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, a writer for VolQuest.com, the Tennessee Rivals website, and got a fun show coming up here today. Tennessee reeled in its fifth commit for the class of 2022, its first offensive line commit in the class, and the question we're all kind of wondering is, who is Brian Grant? I will go ahead and be completely upfront and truthful, never heard of him before this morning, so we will break down Tennessee's newest commit in segment number one. And in segments two and three, it is a Twitter Tuesday, so we will take your questions and we'll get to them here in segments two and three. All that and more here on Locked On Vols. Guys, I appreciate you hanging out with me today. And again, I encourage you, whenever you're not listening to this podcast, you're not checking out the Locked On Today podcast, you are checking out Locked On SEC. There's only one place you can get all the info you need on the SEC 5 days a week, and that's Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy of Sports 790. You can follow the Locked On SEC podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, paying the bills, that's done. Let's get into it. This is a Tuesday Locked On Vols. So we have Brian Grant. Again, I mentioned he is the fifth commit for Josh Heupel in the class of 2022. He is the first offensive line commit for the class of 2022. He's an offensive tackle, 6'8", 270, a three-star from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, where he attends, Choctawatchee High School. Actually, it's Choctawatchee Senior High School. That might not be exactly how you pronounce that high school, but nonetheless, it is what it is. So Brian Grant, the reason this commit is notable is because Tennessee needs desperate help at the tackle positions. So, of course, you're going into the 2021 campaign very, very thin. Following that campaign, you're losing Cade Mays and K'Ron Calvert to graduation. Mays will likely go on to the NFL draft. K'Ron Calvert, we'll have to see what's in store for him. Of course, everybody still has that extra year for COVID if they so choose to play. But you're losing some players due to graduation of the tackle positions. Tennessee is in talks with a number of offensive tackles in this 2022 recruiting class. Anderson Nichols, one guy. Fisher Anderson from in-state's a guy. Pennsylvania native Brian Brubaker is a guy. You also have Maurice Clipper from Georgia. He's a guy Tennessee is heavily involved in. And Tennessee's going to take multiple tackles, or at least that's the goal. Tennessee better take multiple tackles in this class. And so, no reason to go ahead and get the ball rolling. Now, I think a lot of you guys were thinking the same thing I thought initially when I heard about this early this morning or early Tuesday morning, early Monday morning. I'll try that again. Who is Brian Grant? So I heard about that this commitment was coming down the wire at about 8:30 on Monday morning. So we got word, started doing our work, writing up our releases and everything. The commit was said to announce at 11:30. The announcement was not made until about 2:30-ish in the early afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock-ish in the early afternoon. Nonetheless, Brian Grant has committed to Tennessee. Why have we not heard of Brian Grant? I call prospects all the time. I have not once been told to reach out to Brian Grant. I have not once seen Brian Grant active on social media. Haven't seen any of that. Haven't seen him on any of the lists that I've been given of prospects to look into for Tennessee's sake. That doesn't mean that he's not a guy that Tennessee's excited to have. He's just a guy that's very unknown at the time, or unknown right now, really. He's brand new to football, went out for football for this 2020 season a couple months ago. He is a basketball player, and so he's thin, 6'8", 270, not a lot of meat on those bones, but again, that frame at 6'8" means you can pack it on. So I think now that obviously football is the path that he has chosen, he has received multiple Division I scholarships. I think BYU was in the conversation, Maryland was in the conversation, UCF, that's where the relationship started, you know, beginning with this coaching staff was when they were at UCF. But it started to heat up a little bit once he decided to go on for football, and scouts were told to look into this guy and check him out his first couple games, and he started getting some offers. But he's a guy that is again, brand new to football, and he can add a whole lot of weight. But with his tools on the basketball court, his explosiveness, his footwork, he's a lot quicker. I'm not saying he's fast, but he's a lot quicker than your prototypical offensive lineman. He is a project, a guy that will not be ready to play when stepping foot on campus, and that's okay. I think so many times we get caught up in, okay, well, this guy's a freshman, he's a four-star, he better be on the field game one. Or in Harrison Bailey's case, five-star quarterback, let's go, let's roll him out there. Why is he not starting game one? There's a lot of different factors. Of course, last year was a COVID year, so, you know, we'll kind of put that aside. But just because these guys are highly touted doesn't mean they're ready to go out and play oftentimes at all as freshmen. And the same can be said for the NFL. I mean, you've got such an investment on these high draft pick quarterbacks, these first-round quarterbacks, sometimes second, third-round quarterbacks as well. And these teams want to rush these guys in there. And a lot of times it's fine because it is the best option. A lot of times it's rush, but it turns out to be okay. A lot of times you ruin guys' careers. How many guys, think about this. How many times have we seen quarterbacks being rushed into action as an early, you know, first-round pick, early into their rookie season, you know, within the first six, seven, eight games? Tua Tagovailoa got rushed into action for Miami this year when Miami was winning ball games with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I do not understand, to this day, I still don't understand why Tua Tagovailoa was rushed into action over Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Miami Dolphins this past year. Obviously, Tua is the future. At least they're trying to see if Tua is the future. There's been a lot of reports, you know, from their rookie season and you know, here in the offseason, which I think is bogus because, again, he was a rookie last year. Point being, there's an expectation that these guys have to play right away, and I just don't agree with it. So my point is with Brian Grant, he will not be ready to play. He will come in, he will learn, he will eat, he will work out, he will eat, he will work out, he'll rep football. And I think the plan is down the line that he can be a serviceable tackle. He's got great bend, he's very athletic, he is definitely a tackle. This is a lot of what Frank Beasley, his high school football coach, is saying. Give this a listen. Brian is a big, tall, strong, athletic guy who has lots of potential. He's learning and getting better every single day. He's new to football, is new to the offensive line. He's an athletic tackle all the way. He's an offensive tackle all the way. Athletically, he has good feet. He's quick, can really bend for the guy of his height. He weighs about between 270 and 275 right now, but his frame, he can carry a whole lot more weight and keep that athletic ability. He's just scratching the surface of his ability. So, again, that's a little bit on Brian Grant, Tennessee's newest commit, and certainly the Volunteers are going to keep the pressure on some other offensive tackles. You know, I'll have an article later on in the week on offensive tackle prospect Ryan Bear. I've chatted with Dane Shore, another offensive tackle prospect that Tennessee's going to be on. So, again, like I said earlier, there's going to be plenty. The plan is to have plenty of offensive tackles in this class, but Brian Grant's a guy that's going to kick things off, get him started, projected player down the line, and we'll see what Tennessee can do with him. Obviously, this coaching staff liked him, started reaching out with him at UCF. Glenn Ellerbe likes him, and I think just as we in the media were kind of shocked this morning at this commitment announcement that was coming up later in the day, I think the Tennessee coaching staff was also a little bit shocked earlier on. He was actually quoted in Austin Price's article at VolQuest.com saying, I think they were shocked, but they were really, really excited when he was talking about the coaching staff at Tennessee when he told him he was going to commit. So that's a little bit of info on Brian Grant. Again, a three-star offensive tackle, 6'8", 270, class of 2022 from Fort Walton Beach, Florida. He now joins Tennessee's class of 2022, a class that consists of course, Taven Jackson, your four-star quarterback, Vincent Snead, a three-star defensive end. You have Brady Foley, a three-star tight end, Elijah Herring, a three-star linebacker, and now Brian Grant, a three-star offensive line. Tennessee has 1 4-star and 4 3-stars. It is still very early in the process. We'll talk more recruiting coming up later in the show in segments 2 and 3. All right, so we'll get to Twitter Tuesday on the other side. But first, guys, let me remind you about my friends at rockauto.com, a family-owned business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com right now, shop for all your auto and body parts needs from hundreds of different manufacturers. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, you've got the the Kias, you've got the Fortes, the models, the Pacifica, the XT5s. It's now impossible to stock all of the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, is this your Odyssey? Is it an LX? Is it an EX? What kind of car is this? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that the warehouse happens to carry already. You have the computers and you have access to do all that yourself at rockauto.com, home and out of your own pocket. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com always reliably low, the same for professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much when you can do it for a cheaper rate? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car, your truck, and when you're there, write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. All right, segment two here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols, and now we're going to get right into it. Taking your question, taking your comments, anything you guys want to talk about. You guys own the show every Tuesday, really any day you want, but Tuesdays are your platforms, and I appreciate the participation each and every week. You guys are fantastic in that regard. So let's get into it. This is a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Brandon Head will kick us off here. Question for Twitter Tuesday. Which of the big three do you think Tennessee stands the best chance of upsetting this fall? For me, it's University of Florida, and I really think we will be within 3 points of them, even if we lose. My reasoning is, one, they lost Trask, Pitts, and Tony. Two, we lost to them 31-19 last year playing three-and-out football. My points are assuming that we will truly have a hype-powered offense this fall. Hype. I see what you did there. A little play on words there with Josh Heupel's name. Okay. So my thought process on which one can Tennessee upset, which team does Tennessee have the best chance of upsetting within the big three? Florida, Georgia, Alabama. I would agree with you. I would say Florida would be the best chance for Tennessee to upset because, again, a total remake on that offensive end. I know they have a really nice young quarterback, five-star guy they're trying to develop, and Dan Mullen will develop that guy because that's what Dan Mullen does. If Emory Jones is your starting quarterback, Florida's going nowhere. I have no faith. I do not believe in his skill set. I don't think he's a very good quarterback. Tremendous athlete, but I don't think he's a very good quarterback in Emory Jones. But Florida also lost just so much on that offense and a little bit on defense as well. Alabama's also reloading as well. I mean, you lose a couple of three. How many first round draft picks? Obviously, your quarterback. You had two receivers and a couple other guys. Najee Harris. I mean, Alabama's reloading as well. But Alabama reloads seemingly every other year under Nick Saban and his staff. But Georgia, I think, I've been high on Georgia this offseason. I know, call me a Georgia homer, whatever it is. I like Georgia. I like Georgia's makeup. I know Georgia's lost some as well, a little bit of at the linebacker position for sure, on offense too. But JT Daniels is the real deal. That offensive line is still really, really solid. Georgia always has up-and-coming running backs, and we saw a little bit of that last year. I think Georgia's going to be legit. So I've got a buddy, and of course we use BetOnline.ag here on the podcast, and I checked the numbers, and very, very similar to what I'm about to read out with you from my buddy Tyler Wyatt at BetSmartTennessee on Twitter. He has the numbers like this. He has Florida an 11-point advantage going up against Tennessee this year, setting the over-under at 51.5. Tennessee a 23% chance of winning that ball game. Against Alabama, Tyler has Alabama as 26.5-point favorites, over-under set at 53.5, and Tennessee a 5% chance of winning that ballgame. Of course, that's on the road. And then against Georgia, Tennessee an 11.5-point underdog, a 22% chance of victory, and the over-under set at 49. So according to Tyler's numbers, according to the numbers that I backed up on BetOnline.ag, the over-unders and the win totals and all that so far for the preseason, I would have to agree. I think Florida would be the best and more likely chance of an upset so far this fall. But, of course, things can change. We'll have to see exactly where we are in the fall, getting closer to that date. But, Brandon, appreciate the question. Good question, and I would agree with you for sure. We move on to another Twitcher Tuesday question. And this is from I'm a Bucket G_12 on Twitter. Profile pick, Michael Scott. Respect. Which quarterback do you think transfers since Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton transferred in to Tennessee? Can they transfer again? The question is yes, they can. So both of these quarterbacks, this was their first transfer to Tennessee. Hendon Hooker is a graduate quarterback, so he's eligible immediately. Joe Milton will be eligible because of the one-time transfer waiver as well. You can transfer again. You'll just have to sit out. And I believe that is the same for the graduate transfer as well. After you've done it one time, I think you'll have to sit out if you choose to do it again. I don't think that's what Hendon Hooker will do, but yes, you can leave again. You'll just have to sit out. But nonetheless, which quarterback do I think is going to leave? Well, I still think a quarterback will leave because, again, just numbers. You're going to have five scholarship quarterbacks in that room. There's only one football, and there's a lot of ability in that room, and I think someone's going to want to go and look for an opportunity. Look what JT Shroud did this offseason. Of course, Garantano left, but JT Shroud's going to get an opportunity to go and challenge that bazooka arm out in Colorado. And so, we'll have to see. My gut has always said Brian Maurer, but also I think Brian Maurer really loves Knoxville and just wants to be here. I think Brian Maurer has gone through a lot. He tweeted out, and mad respect to him, but he tweeted out on Monday that he's 1 year sober, and that is awesome, man. And we know the struggles that he's had to endure, the personal struggles that Brian Maurer's had to endure so far throughout his young life already. And so props to him for getting his life back on track. That's awesome. But Brian Maurer's got a lot of ability. I don't think that he will be the guy here in Tennessee. And if you guys have listened to this podcast, if you've listened to me on the Sports Animal, if you've read my reports, I've been high on Brian Maurer this spring. I've consistently said he has the highest upside. He is easily the most athletic and the highest upside quarterback in the room at spring practice. Now, when Joe Milton steps in, I think that'll change. But again, it's the consistency. But my gut has always said Brian Maurer. I don't think it'll be Joe Milton. Don't think it'll be Hendon Hooker because those guys just got here. I think Harrison Bailey believes he has a real chance to be the starting quarterback of this football team, and I would agree. I think he has a very good chance to be it as well. Caden Salter hadn't even gotten an opportunity yet. So I would still say Brian Maurer, but I will, disclaimer, haven't heard anything. It's been really, really quiet on that front. I still believe just because it's college football, someone will leave, but haven't heard anything on that front at all. It's been radio silence. So a good question there from imabucketg_12. We will get into one more question before we take a short break and come back for segment number three. Jay chimes in. And Jay wants to know, what are the chances Vitello is still the Vols coach in 5 years? Well, Jay, as you know, a lot of conversation has been about Tony Vitello this year and what Tennessee is going to have to do to keep him, because LSU is going to come calling, Texas A&M is going to come calling, some other programs around the country are going to come calling, because Tony Vitello is a good coach, and what he's built here at Tennessee has been pretty, pretty awesome. Now, there's going to be more conversation about Tennessee baseball in segment three, because I have another question talking about, or asking simply, what is so bad about Tennessee's facilities and all that. And I'm going to go into detail then, but it's an investment beyond just the salary for Tony Vitello. If you're Tennessee, it's an investment beyond just the salary increase of his staff. You've got to make significant, it's not going to be overnight too. It's going to be years and years and years of planning, fundraising, but you've got to make a commitment to improve everything about Lindsey Nelson Stadium, literally everything. Okay. It is the eyesore of the SEC. And I know that might sound mean and harsh, but it is. I challenge you guys to go, if you haven't seen them on television, watching some Tennessee baseball this year, just go Google some of the baseball stadiums around the SEC. And then look at the entrance of Lindsey Nelson Stadium. It is not pretty. I think Tennessee helped himself out by putting down turf a couple seasons ago. That was huge because you avoid rainouts, but you also can bring in and host camps and tournaments in the summer and make more money. I think that's big, but it's going to have to go beyond just giving Tony V a raise. But I think Tony V wants to be here. I think Vitello wants to be here. And if he sees that there are plans in motion and Danny White is a fundraising marketing guy, I think if he signs an extension this offseason, if he decides to stay in Tennessee, he will sign an extension this offseason if that's the case. I do think it's, okay, I'm locked in, I'm ready to roll. So, in 5 years from now, I'd say about 50-50. I mean, I really do. I think if he signs the extension and he's ready to roll, he'll be here for five more years. But again, it's a matter of, is he going to be shown enough to do that this offseason? And that's going to be the question. So, Jay, great question. We will chime in more on some Tennessee baseball in segment number three. But first, before we get into that, BetOnline. BetOnline AG, I referenced some of the numbers, some of the preseason totals and over-unders and props and all that when discussing Tennessee's potential upsetting of Florida, Georgia, or Alabama. But BetOnline, it's got all the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing right now. You can track all that action, like TrackMan, at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and information for your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, UFC, all that and more at BetOnline. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and the contest information. I don't want you guys to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want you to get in the game and make some money using your sports knowledge, and especially of your favorite team, to put some coin in your pocket, in your pocketbook, in your billfold, whatever the case may be. Head on over to the website, use that mobile device, sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. If you put in 30, they'll give you 15. You put in 100, they'll give you 50. That's what a 50% welcome bonus means for that first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got a final segment left here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Eric Kane here, your host of Locked On Vols, @_Kane, and of course this podcast at Locked On Vols. Guys, I appreciate you chiming in each and every week for Twitter Tuesday. Let's go ahead and finish her off here. Luke chimes in. When I look at the schedule, I see at least 6 wins, maybe 7, 8, if really, really, really lucky. What's your over-under for wins this coming season, and why? Luke, I appreciate you, man, chiming in. I think I've been fairly consistent in saying I think this is such an easy schedule out of conference. I understand Tennessee plays Alabama every year. I understand Tennessee has an SEC schedule with Florida at Georgia, and of course, as I mentioned, Alabama. I get all that. But the out-of-conference schedule is so flippin' easy. Yes, Pitt will be a challenge. I think Tennessee's going to be around a 3-point favorite at home for that ball game. I get it. It's not going to be a cakewalk, and certainly Tennessee can lose that game. But you have Bowling Green, you have Tennessee Tech, and you have South Alabama. Shout out to the Jaguars. Accepted a job there, never showed up. So that's a story for another day about moving to Mobile, Alabama. But you have Bowling Green, Pittsburgh, Tennessee Tech, and South Alabama. Okay, those are 4 wins in my opinion. Again, Pitt will be a challenge. I think Tennessee beats the crap. Nah, maybe not beats the crap out of, but I think Tennessee beats South Carolina all day. I think Tennessee beats Vanderbilt all day. Right there, that's 6 wins. Say you lose to Pitt, that's 5 wins. You mean to tell me that Tennessee can't win a swing game between Missouri or Kentucky? I think Ole Miss beats Tennessee. But Missouri's on the up and up, I get all that. But you mean to tell me Tennessee can't win one of these swing games on the road at Missouri or at Kentucky? I think it can. So even taking into account a loss against Tennessee Tech, there's still some room there for 6 wins. So for me, I'm setting the over. I'm not even going to give you the hook there. I'm straight at 6. Either Tennessee wins 5, Tennessee wins 7, or you got the push. So I'm putting it right there at 6 because I think Tennessee can walk to 6 wins this year. And again, that doesn't mean that Tennessee is going to be a good football team. You hope that it's on its way and it's showing a lot of improvements. I just think the schedule is that easy, to be completely honest. Remember this, keep the tape, because come October in the fall, you guys can throw it back in my face and say, what are you talking about, you liar? That's just kind of how it works. So nonetheless, I would set it at 6, man. Luke, I appreciate you chiming in. Abby, what is so bad about Lindsey Nelson Stadium? Good question. There's always conversations about how, and again, just like me in the last segment, Tennessee's got to make a commitment to upgrading the facilities. But what is so bad from an outsider's perspective about Lindsey Nelson Stadium, Tennessee's baseball stadium? Well, I mentioned the eyesore. You walk in the front gate. It is uglier than sin. I mean, for those of you that have been to games, for those of you that have drove by it, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google. Look at the entrance. Look at the main entrance. It is so ugly, okay? You don't have, for the most part, you don't have much seating down the left field line. Tennessee's trying to make the porch a big deal, and it's done a nice job with what it's having, but you need some stands down the left field line. You need some stands in the outfield. Tennessee basically doesn't have any over there. Tennessee needs suites in a big way. Tennessee needs a brand new press box, a guy that has called many, many games, many, many Tennessee baseball games, for the SEC Network, but more so for the Vol Radio Network. That press box is not great. Guys, there's not an elevator that leads you up to that press box. I'm fine with climbing stairs, but there's not an elevator to that press box. I mean, think about that, guys. It's 2021 in the Southeastern Conference, okay? There's not an elevator to that press box. I'm sounding like a spoiled rotten brat here. I get it, but still, that is not good. You talk about the team facilities, the locker rooms need upgrading, the weight room needs a massive upgrade. There's millions and millions and millions of dollars that need to be funneled into that place. I mean, it really, really does. And plus, when they built the stadium, I mean, you got the sun that's in your eyes until the sixth inning of a night game. I mean, it's not a good location either. So the question's going to be, will Randy Boyd's building a stadium downtown to bring the Smokies back in town, okay? So that's in the works right now. Will Tennessee, Randy Boyd, Tony Vitello, Danny White sign off on letting Tennessee play at that downtown stadium? So that's the decision that needs to be made before you funnel in millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. You need to make the decision, okay, well, can we just funnel in a couple million here to make improvements to the locker room, the weight room, and all that type of stuff so you can still, you know, have Lindsey Nelson Stadium serviceable for games and tournaments and practice and all that? Or are we going to go complete overhaul and pour all the money into this before we decide if we're going to go downtown and play? That's the decision you got to make, and I think that's the conversation there. But those are some of the things that is wrong with Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I mean, Lindsey Nelson Stadium, I mean, I have fond memories there, don't get me wrong, but it's time to upgrade. It's also the fifth smallest stadium in the Southeastern Conference, and that never needs to be the case with Tennessee. So those are some of the things that are wrong with Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Ashley, I really appreciate you chiming in. And finally, we'll end our conversation here today on Twitter Tuesday with Josh. Are you satisfied with Josh Heupel's recruiting so far? Josh, great question, man. I know a lot of Tennessee fans are saying, three-star you. And again, outside of Taven Jackson, your quarterback, that's pretty much what you've accumulated so far. I do want to say, and I had this conversation with one of my buddies earlier on Monday, it's like you're running a 400-meter dash, okay, which is... Oh, hold on. Yeah, so it's a 400-meter dash. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I did run track back in the day, and I covered track. 400 is one lap around, okay? It's like you're running a 400-meter dash, and all the other coaches around the SEC have already started 200 meters out in front, okay? That's where Tennessee is right now in terms of recruiting. When Josh Heupel took over, you just started this investigation, came out, fired your head coach, your AD steps down, you got punishments coming, still punishments to come. And you're well behind the eight ball in terms of just trying to finish out the class of 2021 and then getting ahead to 2022. That's why you're seeing so many offers come down the pipe for 2023s. And so you're so far behind, but in saying all that, you still need to be making up some ground. The Wade twins, you had excellent opportunities to bring in Keaton Wade and Destin Wade, and right now they're committed to Kentucky. Ty Simpson, that is not Josh Heupel's fault. Josh Heupel was hired. Ty Simpson, about a week and a half, 10 days after the hire, announced his commitment date. Never gave Tennessee a chance, in my opinion. So once Jeremy Pruitt left. So that's not on Josh Heupel. But you've got to bring in guys like Dallin Hayden, a legacy from Memphis running back, you know, a top 200 player in the country. You got to bring him in. You got to get in Fisher Anderson, offensive tackle from Franklin, Tennessee. You've got to make noise there. Isaiah Horton, is it Florida? Is it Georgia? I think Tennessee's on the back burner there. Cameron Miller, you got to bring in him. You know, can you make moves for Miles Pollard? We'll have to see. Taylor Groves is a guy that Tennessee's been in the conversation for before. Can you climb back into it? What about Jalen Lewis is in that conversation for Tennessee? Giovanni Davis, I think, will be at Tennessee before it's all said and done. I think Tennessee's in good position for Caden Pope and Carson Gay. You know, these are just some of the names I'm mentioning. You know, Patrick Cutis, another guy from Christian Brothers, an offensive lineman. He's another guy Tennessee's in the mix for as well. So that's all the in-state talent. What about Caden Curry? He's a defensive end teammate of Taven Jackson. Can you reel him in? These are some of the names that Josh Heupel needs. I mean, obviously you're not going to get all those guys, but you need to bring in some of those guys, okay? You really, really do, because you don't want to let this class of 2022 go to waste. You've already seen a number of these guys, the Wade twins, Kentucky, Ty Simpson, Alabama, Jordan Bryant James, Georgia, Cody Jones, Michigan. You're already seeing some of these guys already, you know, deciding to go elsewhere. And so, you know, we'll have to see exactly what plays down to it. But I would say be patient with Josh Heupel. He's certainly been good on in the transfer portal. There's no doubt there. But be patient, understand the situation that he was put in. But at the end of the day, you've got to start reeling in some more of this talent. And I think that he will as summer goes on. You get some of these prospects in here for official visits, and it gets a little bit better from there. So am I satisfied right now? I'd say no. I still think he's been a little slow in terms of what should be happening, but certainly understandable given the predicament that he's been in. So let's have this conversation again in August and then in December after the early national signing day, and then we can really, really evaluate where this class is and the job that Josh Heupel's done year one on the recruiting trail. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Vols, another exciting episode of Twitter Tuesday. I appreciate that. And as always, get those questions in, DM, tweet me all week long. I bookmark them, I save them, and I bring them onto the show here each and every Tuesday. Hey, when we're done here, check out the Locked On Today podcast. How worried should the Lakers fans be about their road back to the finals? Really worried, if you ask me. Get all the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. You can follow Locked On Today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Got a fun show coming up here on Award Wednesday tomorrow, and another VFL hopefully will join the show later this week. All that and more here on Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, enjoy your day and have a fantastic Tuesday, everybody.